Okay, it's the Chicago Bears.
Dan Hampton, an Arkansas Razorback, played as a Chicago Bears defensive tackle from 79 to 90, elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 02.
Ed Obradovich,
a U of I ally and I, drafted to the Bears in 1962, part of the NFL championship team of 1963.
Glenn Kozlowski,
a BYU Cougar who played 6 years on the Bears, specializing in special teams and wide receiver. Mark Kernan.
You, Mark Kernan.
Yeah.
You're just a sexy young guy that doesn't know a damn thing.
Welcome to the Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bears. I can't even say it. Hey, welcome in. Bears win 25-20. They beat the Minnesota Vikings. They're 7-3. The Vikes slip to 5-4. The Bears control their destiny. And,
oh, yeah.
And the Bears are going to the playoffs. The
Bears are, hey, you know, to the victor goes the spoils. And 7-3, alone atop the NFC North with the Packers, a loss this week. We beat the Vikings. Detroit, we'll talk about them a little bit later in the show. But, guys, I said before the game, 6 hours ago at the closing of the pregame, I got to see it. And guess what? We saw it tonight. They overcome an awful lot of mistakes by our young quarterback. But you know what, OB? That defense, pack it up. They can go anywhere, anytime, and keep you in any game. And tonight, again, they win it.
Again. There's no question about it, and you got to have a hearing problem or a sight problem to see how are we winning these games. How are we winning every one of these games? Seven of them, defense, folks. Make no mistake about it. And can something repeat itself? 63 defense won a world championship. 85 defense won a world championship. I never thought I'd say this, but what I've seen so far from supposedly good teams. And we're putting a couple of more points on the board, although it's getting very interesting, always in the fourth quarter. But the fact of the matter, we have a defense that's not being fooled, not making mistakes, playing their hearts out, and that's what you want to see. Now, can they go again for what? Six more games, is it, guys?
Six more games.
Yep, they got to win.
Can they do it for six more games? Can this defense play like this? Can we get every call from the refs? Can we get every break in a bouncing ball, a fumble, an interception? It's absolutely unbelievable. But it's happening right before our eyes. I predicted the Bears to win. It would be a great win to win at home, especially tonight against Minnesota. And I'll be damned, they did it.
And by the way, I got to point out that when you heard the opening of the Sunday night broadcast, they actually played Ed Obradovich.
Let us hear, if you missed the pregame tonight, it's really great to turn on NBC on a Sunday night game, and all of a sudden Ed Obradovich is, what was he, eating his spaghetti, and all, and he looked up.
Yeah, he goes, that's me. Hey, guys, that's me.
Call my lawyer. That's my voice.
This was the pregame tonight.
This is like a magical year.
I'm starting to get excited.
They look tremendous.
A strip sack by Khalil Mack.
Welcome to Chicago.
Touchdown, Bears.
This is the best Bears offense we've ever had.
These kids are flying high right now.
A vicious defense tonight.
There's no stopping this train.
Let's go after Minnesota. Show the greatest fans in the world who the hell's in control.
OB with three drops on the pregame show. Not one, not two, three.
Yeah, and no, and he was more shocked than anybody. He's like, wait a minute, that's me. And we all looked at each other. I'm going,
I did.
But it was dead solid, perfect description of what the Bears needed to do. And I'll be damned, they went out and did it, OB.
Well, it's hard to be humble, guys. It really is.
Hey, this is a good team. Look. You know, there's always things that they can improve on, but I've always said when you win seven games at any time and you're 7-3 and you're in full control of your division, you've got a shot. You got a chance. And look, they're going to win this division. And, you know, when you get into the next round, it's Katie bar the door. Anything can happen. So you got to get there before you could ever.
The one gentleman and our listeners out, the one thing that scares the living hell out of me with this team is comes the last, the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, we go
basically
to.
Every game. I mean, that defense has to play drop dead solid stone cold football. Some reason, somehow, whatever it is, all of a sudden, week after week, we were like dominant the first half, and then in the second half, watch out. Well, they put a touchdown on, they got a field goal. Now to get another touchdown.
They let teams hang around.
And all of a sudden, you cannot let these teams hang around. I've said it a million times, when you're a championship team and you've got that lead the way we've had in the first half, put their lights out. Step on their throat, finish them. Take it over. And we're not doing it for some reason. The defense is still hanging in there. But offensively, we should have had 30-some points easy.
Yeah.
Easy, folks,
no
today.
Question.
Well, you have to point, you know, and come on, let's be realistic. We've talked about this offense. It's almost of the gimmick variety. And the two times Trubisky tried to do something down the field, it kind of blew up in his face. He threw two picks. And then, you know, Tariq Cohen gets stripped of the ball for three turnovers. And normally you turn the ball over three times, you don't win. But with this defense, who's saying you can't win with three turnovers? We did it again today.
Hey, big man, got a question for you and you, Glenn. Mark, can we win? Can we win out and get to the Super Bowl with a dink and dunk / trick offense? Can we do that? You think we can?
I think we can.
I don't think you can get to the Super Bowl, but look, if the defense keeps playing at this high of a level, you know, anything's possible, I suppose.
All that matters is you win games until you get into a matchup where you've got to be able to score points, i.e., if we get into the playoffs and we got to see New Orleans, if we have to go out and see the Rams. You know, their records, what are they, 9-1 right now? They got a big game tomorrow night. The Saints are, what, 9-1?
9-1.
So at the end of the day, we're not driving the bus, but by gosh, we're on the front row.
Yes.
And even with this little gimmick offense that continues to make mistakes, at some point they have the ability to start making plays and erase some of those mistakes. If they do, then everything's going to start turning out
everything
a lot better in the third and fourth quarter.
I'm going to say one other thing here. Glenn, Dan and I have talked about this. These trick plays that Nagy's coming up with, now putting Hicks in the backfield and then doing a shift and putting him out as a wide out, and all these different things that Nagy has done. Mark my words. Mark, you think that Zimmer, the coach of the Vikings, didn't see what all the little dinky, tricky stuff that he is trying to pull, trying to embarrass the Vikings? You think the other teams that he's pulled all this stuff on, you think they're going to forget this, Glenn?
Well, of course not. No.
They're not going to forget this, folks, and believe me on that one.
It'll come back.
It'll come back. I don't know when, but it'll come back to get Nagy.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with some misdirection of what they're doing. It's not like
I don't care what you're saying. What I'm telling you is what happened, and that's what happens. You can't embarrass the opposition. Those are your peers, so to speak, playing against them, and you try to make fools out of them by coming up, putting 96 Hicks in the backfield, the lone back. Okay. Then you run a switch. You put them out at wide out. Come on. That's not what you do in this league. College, not in this league.
And you know what? It was almost unnecessary in the sense that, in the big picture, didn't need to. And what was it about going for two after the first touchdown? Those are things where you're saying, wait a minute, what are you doing? Are you trying to show a little bit too much hubris here that you can do whatever you want? And the Vikings have no say-so. I'll tell you this. Kirk Cousins, the possum face, was horrible tonight. Thank the Lord. But I'm telling you, If he plays like that when we go up there in December, I'm not nearly as worried as I was before the game tonight.
I mean, if the Vikings have a problem with the Bears, the Vikings got to look in the mirror. The Vikings were the least disciplined team that we've seen this year. The Kirk Cousins, as you just mentioned, was absolutely atrocious. The Vikings had no
unbelievable.
I mean, they were pathetic.
They were a bad team, and in spite of themselves, still hung around.
But they were bad.
Now think about this
in the big context of things. We want to get to the callers here. We've got some folks calling in, and we appreciate it. But I'm just saying, hey, win a game. That's what it always comes down to.
Right.
But you know what? Going for two after the first touchdown, putting Hicks in for the two-point conversion and then sending him out to a slot position, these things that – and we're going to find out a lot about this team on Thursday. It's only 4 days, and we got to go see a Detroit team that pulled out a big win today.
Yeah, Dan,
against Carolina.
Here, let me tell you something.
I mean, that
was
a good win.
You think Mike Zimmer, the head coach of the Vikings, isn't sitting with that coaching staff somewhere? If it's not now, it's on the plane ride back, or it's tomorrow morning. They're going to sit back and talk about Nagy, all the dirty little things in football language, that he tried pulling to embarrass the Vikings, okay? I'll guarantee you they're going to have a meeting and they're going to talk about it.
Well, they don't see him until week 17, last game of the year. And I would guess that game's not going to mean anything. But
It might. It could mean something. I mean, look, Bears go on Thursday. Dan's right. That's a huge game for the Bears.
If they
can get through Detroit on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day at 11 o'clock, it's done. Put the baby to bed. I mean, they're going to win the division.
Yeah, we can win the division, but now the Giants have woke up.
Right.
Then we got the Rams again on Sunday night back here.
Right.
I mean, let's don't count the chickens yet.
There's still work to do, but this was the first game where you can say, hey, the Bears are one of the better teams in the NFL.
Tonight was the night.
Here's what they did. This game was so important. We were at home, again, in front of our fans. But the bottom line is this. Anyway, I could say it was this, it was that. Guess what? They took care of business, and they won in front of our home fans. Finally won an important game at home instead of getting the tables turned on us.
Right. First win over a team that's above 500 all season long. The Vikings don't have any of those wins, by the way, for the record.
It's Trubisky, at quarterback, he was 0-6 until last week. Now he stacked a couple wins against divisional foes. And, you know, this is the first time since 2008, what is that, 10, 11 years now? However you want to count the seasons and years, that the Bears and the Vikings were atop the NFC North in a matchup that really mattered. And guess what? We're atop of it now at 7-3.
Yeah, and firmly in control.
We'll get to the calls coming on back here. 312-981-7200. First, Kaz, you've got a very important message.
I do. If you're injured or hurt in an accident, call the Mancini Law Group, a personal injury law firm that is personally committed to securing your maximum justice with maximum results. Being injured or hurt in an accident can be very challenging. In the midst of dealing with pain, medical bills, and lost wages, you may be dealing with an insurance company that wants to take advantage of you and force you to accept a lowball settlement. This can happen when you're not represented by the right law firm. Please do not attempt to handle this alone. The Mancini Law Group has experienced attorneys providing aggressive representation, resulting in millions of dollars recovered for injured victims. The Mancini Law Group is here to make it right when you've been wrong. No legal fee unless they collect money for you. For a free case evaluation, call 773-888-9000 or visit them online at www.mancinilaw.com. That's 773-888-9000 or online at www.mancinilaw.com. The Mancini Law Group, one law firm, two promises, maximum justice, maximum results.
Fine performance, 25-20, Bears a winner over the Vikes. That's four wins in a row. They are 7-3. We're coming
on. And you called it.
I did call that. Check the tape. At 3-3, I got screamed at by everyone. They're going to win four in a row. They're going to win four in a row. We'll be sitting here at 7-3. Remember that, OB? Remember when I said that?
Yes, you did.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think you, the middle of your back, you missed, though.
Yeah, perhaps. All right. A lot of patting going on here.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Pat
All right.
yourself.
Bears are on their way to the Super Bowl. Let's keep the fingers crossed. Keep it rolling. 720 WGN.
This is the Hampton OB Show with Cause, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears win, Bears win, Bears win.
7-3, control the division by, what now, 2.5 games?
And how about the fact that it really was never in doubt tonight?
No, they were beating them up from the jump.
Well, you know, you jump up and we're 14-0 at halftime. And then, like OB says, in the second half, it's strap it on. Here we go. You know, here comes the Bronco and up and down. And you know, the pick six. Come on, let's be realistic. Eddie Jackson, the pick six.
The difference in the game.
He wins it. Right. You know, forget about Khalil Mack with the strip fumble. Forget about everything else. That pick six, difference in the ballgame.
Hey, folks, before we go any further, I just want to tell you what I know and truly believe is the most important statistic in the game. The average game per offensive play. The Vikings, 4.3, you lose a game. The Bears, 4.3, you lose a game. That play right there, I guarantee you, every coach looks at. That's the most important play in a football game. Both of them were at 4.3. And when you saw that, if you were to ask me, the Bears were at 4.3. Don't tell me anything more. They lost the game. How about both of them at 4.3?
The Bears came in 9.7, which was towards the top of the NFL. So
I'm talking average gain.
I know. Coming in today, they were at a 9.7.
Right. But you got to tip your cap. Our defense smothered their offense. Kirk Cousins had no answers till the garbage time at the end. But their defense, it was number one in the league last year. We kept them off balance with the dink and dunk, you know, misdirection early in the game. But as we got later on in the third and fourth quarter, they had a lot of answers, and we didn't go nowhere.
Well, Matt Nagy has proven so far in 10 games that they don't make real solid adjustments in the second half. They do just enough to win, and I'm cool with that, but at some point, you got to start making adjustments to counter what the defense is doing to you. That's
callers,
all.
Callers.
Yes, Obi, we'll get to the calls in one split second. But first, it's the Marconi Play We Relish, which is brought to you by Marconi Jardinera. You can put it on everything. Relish all your meals because Marconi makes it better. Hampo, what do you got?
Jackson, pick six. I mean, those are, you know, block punt for a touchdown. That's the play that New England used to beat us. Well, pick six for Eddie Jackson today was the play that broke the back of the Minnesota
and Vikings. I would say Miller making that shoestring catch
that was
in
huge.
The end zone, yeah. You know, to push it to 14.
Yeah.
And very few wide receivers in the league make that play anymore. It was a great catch by the young
rookie. It truly was.
Rookie.
What was it? A 1 out of 5 for a pro receiver to catch it?
Right. And
well,
he makes
you,
it.
The kid's, he's awesome.
312-981-7200. Let's, you like that duck, OB?
Oh, that was horrible, but it was a great catch Miller.
It did get there. All right, Steve in Los Angeles, you want to mention somebody that we have not talked about. Steve, live your dream. Go ahead.
All right, Cody Parkey. You know, I know, guys, he practiced, thank God. But, you know, psychologically, the kicker has a lot more psychology he's got to deal with. And I give him credit for overcoming the yips that happened to him last week. And
right.
Just real quickly, I've been a Bear fan since 1960. OB, I loved you guys. I still watch the 63 game, the championship against New York on film. My dad took me up to Wisconsin to watch it when NBC, it was blacked out of Chicago in those days. And I just want to tell you, I loved it. Of course, Hamp, the 85 game, of course. But back to Cody, the psychology of it. What do you guys think of that?
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, Dan and I thought that there was going to be some scarring tonight.
Scar tissue.
He answered it.
It was perfect.
Let me tell you one thing. If he didn't make that first field goal or didn't make that first extra point, this kid would have been done forever with football. Nobody would have ever picked him up. And I'm going to tell you what, psychologically, I don't know how much, you know, how enthusiastic the kid is or what. But, boy, I tell you something, that could have been a real bad thing, guys.
Yeah, seriously. But he overcame it, and
yes,
he made it.
So you got to give him – it was a good call. You got to give him kudos.
And unfortunately, what did it take that debacle last week for them to wake up and start sending his butt down here to Soldier Field to practice. You can't tell me that that preparation didn't give him the confidence to get above happened last week, psychologically, physically, however you want to put it.
And they, you know, they talked about it in the pregame. He went out early, and the fans cheered him. He was 13 for 13, and every time he kicked it through the uprights, everybody in the stands started cheering for him. So, you know, again, that works in his favor because the fans were supporting him. You know, okay, I mean, it's good stuff.
Send
good
Trubisky
stuff
out in the pregame and let him try to complete some passes next time.
Just put some buckets out there that he tries to throw and make into.
And just for a reminder, he's 26 years old. He went to the Pro Bowl when he was kicking for the Eagles. He was a good kicker for the Dolphins. He had
I know. So, but he did. He you know, he blew chowder on himself.
There's a reason why he's been in five different cities.
Well, yeah. 33-yarder he made in the first quarter. Then he knocked in a 41-yarder in the second quarter.
And then a 48-yard bomb.
Right, 48-yard bomb.
And win the
dagger
game.
That won it.
And I didn't get it. There was all this deliberation going on whether or not to kick the field goal. Like, what are you doing?
And that is more Nagy. Yeah.
He was, you know what he was doing? Matt Nagy was freezing him out just to see if he could make it, right? Nagy's freezing him. Hey, instead of calling a timeout, I'm going to freeze him and see what he could do.
All right, Mike in Rockford, welcome to 720 WGN.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
All right, Mike.
All right, guys, here's what I got. All right, now they're 7-3. They beat the team that they was going to be their nemesis in this division, I believe. But they got to go in Thursday, and Detroit's come alive a little bit against the Panthers.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of a little bit worried about Thursday, and it's a short week. And then they've got the two games against the Giants and the 49ers. And I think the 49er game is at Soldier Field. I think the Giant game is on the road. Those two games don't concern me very much. So potentially they could be 10-3. But I want to ask you guys, you all played football. On a short week, guys, how bad? OB, you didn't have them that bad because they didn't have the games like that back then. But they got that short week when you're coming back. How bad is it? Is the body that unhealed? I mean, I played high school football, but, you know, that isn't the same.
The answer is yes. It's horrible.
Thanks, Mike.
And the veterans, especially guys that played a little bit longer, Dan, it's brutal to come back on a Thursday. And we've done it a couple of times when we'd have to go up and play Detroit on Thanksgiving up there. And it's a tough game to play after you play on Sunday. You're physically tired.
Not only that, but think about this. A Sunday night, late game. Okay, right. Tomorrow morning, meetings. Tuesday, some kind of walkthrough. Wednesday, you have to go to Detroit.
Right.
So you talk about short. I mean, it's like everything's abbreviated. But most importantly, we saw Detroit 2 weeks ago. And I told the story about it's so tough to beat an opponent that short of a window back-to-back. Even if you dominate like we did, it's a psychological trap. Well, you think, well, we got this.
Right.
Yeah, and they're over there saying, oh, yeah, well, wait till you come over here. So, you know, we have to travel. They don't. It's a lot harder on the Bears.
And it is, historically, Detroit wins most Thanksgiving Day games. I mean, they win it. They play well on that week.
But I'm telling you what, guys.
House of Horrors.
I'm telling you.
It's horrible to go up there.
This year is a magical year for the Bears. Every call from the referees goes the Bears' way. Every bounce of the ball, whether it's offensively or defensively, bang, goes to the Bears. It is incredible what's going on, and I hope it continues for at least six more games.
One more thing. It's almost like some kind of ether. The opponents do stupid stuff like the Vikings did
stupid
and get three personal fouls that, I mean, nobody in their right mind would shove somebody three steps out of bounds. But Hunter Smith, a guy that's supposed to be a bright guy, gets a penalty. I mean, it's just it's almost incomprehensible how the opponents have done stupid stuff play after play, game after game.
Let's move forward.
I forgot to tell you guys, the good Lord, he's a Chicago Bear fan.
Yes, clearly he is.
Thank you.
We're grateful for that.
I just thought I'd tell you guys.
He had the Bears minus two.
Yeah.
More than ever, team. We need to turn to someone we can trust. Let's move this forward, especially when it involves protecting our family. Jeff Vukovic knows your insurance. Check out jeffvuk.com because Nationwide is on your side.
Vuk was perfect in field goals tonight.
Was amazing. Vuk's always amazing.
He and Parkey.
Parkey, Vuk, they're on the same plane. Hey, we'll keep rolling the calls in here after 11 o'clock. We do have to take a quick time. I'll get you into news. Hamp, OB, and Kaz, the Bears have won 4 in a row. They're 7-3. Detroit on Thanksgiving coming up next, 720 WGN.
This drive starts deep in their own territory, and it's picked off at the 25-yard line. Eddie Jackson, and he'll go in for the touchdown. Ready to beat the band. He looks the other way and throws, and that'll be caught for 2 points by Shaheen, who just came off injured reserve.
Welcome back, Adam Shaheen. Anybody have him in the two-point conversion derby pool before the game?
No, welcome back, though. Hey, and again, you know, as he gets more back into the flow of things, he can help. He can help in a lot of different ways, especially blocking.
You know something that was asked, question, they're going to use him. Where do you think they'll use him? I said on the goal line. That's where they'd use him.
You did say that, OB.
And lo and behold, that's where they used him.
There were some lot hot takes on the pregame show today. A lot of people on the money. Little Dan almost got the score right. Hey, let's do the Mueller game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. Hampo, you got a game changer? OB, you got one? Anybody?
No, I was just ready to say good to hear Mike Mueller's voice back on the radio doing the commercials. Great job, Michael.
I say the game changer was, you know, you already brought it up once, Dan, but that interception for a touchdown, that was it. Game over.
But I kind of think that the Mac force fumble, think about this.
Changed
driving,
all the momentum, right?
And you know what? It basically just kind of, you know, B-slapped him right in the face. And at some point,
yeah, they're like on the
their
20.
Offense never recovered from it. Until late in the game when it was all stumble bum garbage time when they're just slinging it around trying to get back in it. I'm just telling you.
I wouldn't disagree with that either.
Hey,
so let's go with the
Hicks
fumble.
Hicks was the best defensive player on the field tonight, but once again, Khalil Mack makes these uncanny plays that changes the way the ball game will come out.
So a guy that plays like Hicks, to turn around and do it on Thursday?
It'll be tough on him, big guys, especially the big guys.
It's a lot
better than him getting blocked and we lose tonight.
That's for sure. So,
right, and, you know, the warmer it is, the tougher it is on a guy like Hicks. But he's still a young guy. This is a young team. I don't think that the turnaround's going to be as difficult for them as it would be for a veteran group.
The only team in the NFL that hasn't had someone start a game that's 30 years old or older.
Well, let me tell you something, guys. They know where they're at right now. If they were to play a game on Tuesday, they would be looking for it and they'd be licking their chops.
Yeah, they're
right
playing
now,
well.
These kids are flying high. They feel no pain. That's great. Let's have it. Let's go. Let them tear it loose.
Let's go down to Big Texas. Ed, where are you calling from in Texas? Welcome to WGN.
Good evening. A place called San Augustine, Texas.
A great place.
Near the Louisiana border.
Right. Great food down there, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Yes. I want to give greetings to you gentlemen and also greetings to Ed, my fellow alum from Proviso East High School. I graduated about 35 years after Ed, but we both went to the same school.
You didn't have to say that.
He just wanted to point out the obvious, Ed.
You were doing fine until you said that.
I'm sorry.
You don't have to tell us everything you know.
So what do you got?
For you to be the graduation speaker. But I don't trust the offense. Everyone has heard of the two-minute offense. I think the Bears need a 20-minute offense when it's mid-third quarter.
Yeah.
They either need to run up the score like Drew Brees does or pound it and shorten the game like Walter Payton and Emmitt Smith used to do.
You got to put them away.
If it wasn't for that pick six, they may have lost the game. I don't trust Trubisky and the offense, the turnovers. I was worried until that field goal.
Fair enough. I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, no, and he's right. That's one of the concerns as we look forward is the adjustments that we don't make in the second half when the defense makes an adjustment to what we're doing. And that's something that Nagy is responsible for as the offensive coordinator. He has to make the adjustment.
And think about this. We were in control of the ball game from the opening kickoff, basically until the final minute. We score one touchdown as an offense.
Right.
Now that, and we can talk all we want about how great the defense is. That'll come back and get you someday.
It was interesting, though. They come out very conservative, and they didn't have to do anything more than just methodically move the ball down the field.
I would like to see them in that third quarter, like Ed said. Listen, I'm not looking for them to score another 30 points, but put something together where you shorten that second half when you're comfortably leading. So you're eating clock, not throwing on third down and three.
Out of reach.
You put them away, and you either, like Ed said, you pound it, or you just keep driving at them, throwing the ball, and trying to score. But they do neither. They kind of get caught in no man's land.
312-981-7200. Jim in Burr Ridge, welcome to 720 WGN. Jim, you're up, pal.
Yes, how are you?
I'm on
the air, okay.
Yes.
So one thing I want to say is Bartolini's. I appreciate you guys eating that pregame, during the game. I've tried it, too, because my buddy Wally came in with the beef meatball sandwich. And it was excellent. I had like 30 people here like tonight. I had like 40 people here. So, but recently Dan Hampton broke the internet in a way because he picked the Vikings to beat the Bears. And a lot of the Bears fans, from what I saw on the internet, were really upset. They got riled up. And so my question is, while Bartolini's tasted good pregame and during the game, does it feel like you're eating crow after the game?
Wow, Jim.
Wow, and you know what? You're exactly right. I am eating a little crow because I overvalued the Vikings, but I said this is a team that went to the NFC Championship game a year ago. They went and spent $84 million on a quarterback they thought was going to get him over the hump. The guy I saw tonight, I mean, he should. They should sue
the
him. They should sue him for impersonating an NFL quarterback
for a short period of time.
Hey, it doesn't matter. Like I said, we got to go up there in December 30th. I'm not near as worried about that Vikings football team after watching them up close tonight. They are not a good football team. And guess what?
Undisciplined.
The better team won. And yay. You take it for what it is. But as our gentleman on the last call said, if it wasn't for a pick six, what does that happen? Once or twice a year? If it wasn't for a pick six, we're singing a different tune. And I wouldn't be eating the crow, but I'm happy to eat the crow because 7-3.
It looks a lot better than 6-4.
The turkey's going to taste a lot better than the crow.
Yes. Right?
So the fans turn against you.
Hey, but he hasn't been barred from Burr Ridge, though, Ed. He hasn't been barred from Burr Ridge yet.
He's got to go through the guardhouse to get home. The guy will probably bar him.
Yeah. You're right. Good point. But he didn't tell him to bet everything he owned on it either.
It's the first time
Christ,
that
I know about that.
Yes.
I had to go in hiding, for Christ's sake.
It's the first time that Hamps ever got a prediction wrong in his entire career, correct? Right? That's never happened before.
Well, I'm just saying. I got to see
it.
Those guys won last year. Yeah. What were they, 12-4?
Right.
I mean, they
best
won a lot
defense
of
in the league.
This is the first big game we have had in 6 years, and we score one touchdown, but we win.
Hey,
go figure.
Hold, big man, you're not taking this criticism too good.
just eat your crow. Put a little hot sauce on it.
A few slaps across the top of the head. You'll be all right.
Pass the gizzard.
Chicago Knows Best, right up to, you can hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best. 312-981-7200. Bears a winner, 25-20. Yes, Hampo did have the Vikings winning 24-20.
So did I. I picked him, too, because I felt like I was worried about our kicker, and he proved us wrong, and I'm happy.
Ask me who I picked.
You wouldn't give a score, though. You did pick the Bears.
I remember.
No, I'm not going to give a score.
I remember the first time. Remember when we got it right that one time? Now Ed knows what it feels like, too.
Is a win. Is that not correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
I don't care how you win, and the Bears are doing it. And that's what I love about it.
Go to the callers, will you, please?
We have to go to a break first, OB, and then we will go to the callers.
Callers will be right back to you.
That's right. And Adam,
hopefully you're in a lot better humor than that guy was.
Jim in Burr Ridge is your nemesis. All right, Adam Hogue also after 11:30 from Soldier Field, 720 WGN.
This is the Hemp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Now that is the first time, ladies and gentlemen, I've seen Ed Obradovich dance during the show.
He's got
right
some
there.
Rhythm tonight. You know what, though, Ed? What a night it's been for you, Ed. You first off, you're no longer banned from what's the place?
Palatine.
Palatine. They let you back in,
yeah.
And then you're voiced over three times to open NBC broadcast,
and
now
the
you're
door
dancing.
Attacks him in
and
the,
a door
in the conference
attacks him too.
That was
and you,
close.
And then you dance. One. And then you dance. I mean, what a night for you.
The door thing was really close, guys.
It was.
I went, whoa!
I mean, he went to push the door and it, like, fired back at him.
I'm really sorry I missed that moment. I would have been there for you, OB.
Oh,
you know.
That brings tears to my eyes.
Let's. we were just for a second there during the break. We were talking about who's better than the Bears. So you got the 9-1 Rams. You got the 9-1 Saints, and then you go over to the AFC. You got the 9-1 Chiefs, and you know you still got New England sitting there at 7-3.
What do you think Fred thinks?
The Steelers are 7-2. You want to put Fred?
Yeah.
Up
why
there?
Don't we? Why don't we find out what he thinks?
You want Fred on?
Yeah.
There?
Let's see what Fred and John and
all right, Fred
and these guys think.
What's up, Fred? Welcome to WGN.
How you doing, guys? You know what? It really aggravates me when a coach can't get time management right. Okay, there's less than 6 minutes in the fourth quarter. What do the Bears do? They pass on first and second down. If they even run and even say gain nothing, they're taking off at least 2 minutes off the clock.
Right.
I never seen a losing team have still one timeout left. They're lucky they didn't have to use that to win the game. You know, and like you say, if that interception for a touchdown didn't happen, they gave them time to win this game. And they should have never had it, just like the Green Bay game. It's ridiculous.
Fred, they picked up some key first downs, though, throwing the football late in the game.
Yeah, but what Fred's saying, though, he is right on. They have to find that happy medium in Nagy, and this is on him as the offensive coordinator. He has to run a better game plan late in the game where you're pounding the ball and eating up clock because you're in control. Run the clock out. You don't have to score anymore. Run it out. Force them to use timeouts to get back in it. Hey, doesn't do that.
Fred, I got a little tidbit for you. You know Pace, our general manager, he came from the New Orleans Saints. You see what the Saints have done since he left? Number two, Nagy came.
I think the Saints are 9-1.
Nagy came. He came from Kansas City. You see what Kansas City's doing? What are they? 9-1?
Yeah, they're both 9-1. Yeah, they're both 9-1.
That has nothing to do with Fred's point. You just love.
He just had to work it
look
in.
Look at those two teams, the two top teams in all of football. And who do we have? One guy. Pace, our general manager, who couldn't find his way. No, I'm not going to go there.
There you go.
And there we go. And we got Nagy. He's still taking care of business at the last 30 minutes of a game. How the hell, when you're the offensive coordinator at Kansas City, you're playing
the Titans.
Pardon?
The Titans in the playoffs, right?
The Titans in the playoff at home. In front of 85,000-90,000 people, and
you're up 21-3,
21-3, and you don't score another point. And he comes here and look at how we are in the second half. So again, Pace, look at New Orleans where they are. Look at Kansas City, and we got their two stoops.
You know, and they're
7-3 in first place, and he's still stooping them.
Compared to Kansas City and New Orleans,
they're only two back.
Give me a break.
They're only two.
But in this 7-3 record season, there's been a lot of near misses. And yes. Fred's point is when and you know instead of you always saying OB, put your throat on him, smack. Well,
right.
The clock is your
friend.
Burn the clock. Take the air out of it, and it's over. Don't keep protracting the game by throwing it passes on first, second down. So he has to get better.
He does.
We won tonight. We dodged the bullet, but he won tonight.
Let's just for one more reminder: if they make a field goal against the Dolphins, they're 8-2. They should have beaten Green Bay on opening night.
Yeah, but listen, do you know why they didn't? You don't want to know why they didn't? They threw the ball on third and one four times in the second half and killed. If you just run the ball, you win.
It goes back to the evil worm. That's the reason why we're 7-3.
Yes, and
get to the callers.
First year head coach, learning on the job, getting it done, getting better each week. Give him a little credit. The defensive star of the game is brought to you by Chicago
at Akeem Hicks
and Northwest
Not
Indiana
even close.
Chevy dealers. ChevyDriveChicago.com. Yes.
Let me remind you one more time.
Yeah.
Look where New Orleans when Pace is left. Okay. All right. Take a look at what they've done. Take a look what this guy's done.
They're struggling. They are struggling. They're 9-1. They're struggling.
Yeah, they're struggling real hard.
They miss him. Hey, guys, on a night
where Reed.
I'm just having some fun, that's all.
On a night where half the defense could be the defensive player of the week, hey, the two corners led the team in tackles. Both safeties had interceptions. Khalil Mack, a strip, a sack. I mean, the guy was amazing, but Akeem Hicks had a sack, five tackles for loss. He was everywhere and blocked the two-point conversion at the end of the game. He deserves it.
He had a great game, boy. I'll tell you what, he came off that line from that inside position, and he just tore those people apart. Wow.
He's also incredibly likable. Every time I hear Akeem Hicks talk, he's so super supportive to his teammates.
But so is Khalil Mack. I mean, there's two guys that are like the same, and they're likable. You want them to do well because they don't chirp. They don't dance around and act like knuckleheads. They just play football.
Let their actions do the talking for him.
Hey, we've all had dreams growing up seeing your names up in lights like Khalil Mack on the marquee of the Chicago Theater, even written out with stars in the night sky like Ed Obradovich. Even though the stars won't actually spell out your name, we have a product that can fulfill these dreams. The 2019 Chicago personalized calendars are back and available now at WGNRadio.com. They're made to order, Kaz.
I can spell your name in the snow if you want.
And it don't cost a whole lot.
It don't cost much. I can do it for you.
No. You want to do this. You want to made to order with any name you choose, artistically incorporated Chicago's legendary scenes, Kaz, not you. In the snow with what you just
offered it to you, Mark.
I really appreciate it, as if it was part of an actual photograph. Produced by our friends at 2Ks, these new calendars will help you stay organized as well as give you a sense of awe. How do you think of that in the middle of this spot? Give this thoughtful gift that lasts years long, and best yet, remind someone how much they mean to you while they use it every
you every, mean a lot to me, Mark.
I got it. To order yours, visit WGNRadio.com and scroll to the feature section. Check out how you could become a part of Chicago. All right, well, Adam.
You know who's enjoying this show?
Who would that be?
Our producer, Rick Geezer. I've been watching him over here.
He's been laughing.
He's been laughing the whole time.
I mean, I'm reading a beautiful spot about the 2K's calendars and Kaz is talking
about
yellow snow.
I'll tell you how beautiful you read it.
I didn't say that. You did.
Okay. Adam Hogue from Soldier Field after the 11:30 news. Bears win again, four in a row, 25-20 over the Vikings, 720 WGN.
All right. Moment of truth, 48-yard attempt. And the kick looks good. Is good.
Right down the middle, damn it.
Hey, here's the funny part, though. You know, the kid now is saying, I'm going to do this more often. Kevin Butler, who was
you mean
at
coming
one time
down to Soldier Field and kicking during the week.
He's going
to
do it from now on. Butler did it every year he was here. He and Maury Buford would drive down three times a week and kick at Soldier Field just to be prepared for home games.
That was
like
the
this
same.
Is. These guys act like this is a brand new idea. What's wrong with these guys?
It's not a brand new idea because back when we won a world championship in '63, we practiced at Wrigley Field. Our punters and kickers would go down every day to Soldier Field. When we moved, they would go down if we played a game in Soldier Field.
Right.
And then when that's all they did was go down and practice kicking in Soldier Field.
Yeah,
so that goes
so
back
goofy.
In the 60s.
Right. It's just it doesn't make
there's
sense that they weren't doing that.
You know, that's not there's nothing new about that.
Adam Hogue goes down to Soldier Field and covers the Bears when they're not even there. We'll get to him, Obi. Hey, Hoagie, what's going on, Adam Hoag out at Soldier Field?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, good win. Bears win. You know, I'd like to see them manage the second half adjustments. But, hey, when you're 7-3 and you're winning like the Bears are winning, you take it any way you can. But still some things they could clean up on offense, obviously. But the defense is the best I've seen this year.
Let's start with the injury report, which is brought to you by the Mancini Law Group, our one law firm, one promise, maximum justice, maximum results. How'd they come out health-wise, Adam?
Yeah, a couple concussions, and one to Adam Shaheen, who just came back off IR. And I don't know if he got hurt on that two-point conversion or maybe he was blocking on the next series. I'm not sure, but he did suffer concussion, so that's going to be tough on a short week. And same thing with Aaron Lynch. Aaron Lynch, they're going to have their depth tested a little bit at outside linebacker because he's got a concussion too.
Aaron Lynch, is that the guy that wears 99? No, I mean, right. Isn't that who he is?
That's who he is.
I was asking, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't even realize he was playing tonight. Was he in? He's in the rotation.
He happened real early in the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Adam, you tweeted out that you said Trubisky made a number of decent throws, but in the big picture of this football team looking forward and projecting what we have to do to get better, he's got to play a lot better than what he did tonight. Do you not agree? I mean, this offense came up with one touchdown. One touchdown when they basically controlled the flow of the game and had it 10 minutes more than the Vikings.
No, I think that's fair because, look, the position the Bears are in, and this is to their credit because they're 7-3 and they're in good shape right now to potentially win this division. Well, now you got to start talking about the Saints is the measuring stick. How do you beat the Saints in a playoff game? Are you playing good enough at that level? Now, you got some time to get to that level, and the Rams will provide another measuring stick here in a couple weeks at Soldier Field, but you're most likely going to have to go on the road to beat one of those teams in the playoffs. So from that standpoint, did Mitch play well enough to win this game tonight? Yes. But his quarterback rating was still 61.9. He still had two interceptions. I thought he made some good third down throws down the stretch, and the throw to Adam Shaheen on the two-point conversion. And let's not ignore that because this defense of the Vikings has been setting like records for their third-down defense, and the Bears came out and converted 50% of their third downs tonight. Mitch had something that had a big part in that, so we'll give him credit for that. However, no question he made enough mistakes. He got away with a pick six at 1.2 that probably should have been returned the other way. That would have been just an enormous catastrophe in this game.
I swear so, I would have had it.
Even Carmen said to me, he goes, I could have caught that.
That ball was sitting there for an hour. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Adam.
Yeah, no. So, look, this is kind of how the season has been, right? From the quarterback, he faces soft secondaries, and he takes advantage, and he looks outstanding. And then he faces these good defenses, and the Vikings are a good defense. The Bills a few weeks ago were a good defense, and it's kind of a mixed bag. So he's just got to kind of continue to improve as the season goes along in those situations, and if he does, they'll have a chance, but he's still got to get, obviously has to work on this a little bit better.
Yeah, he's got to get better, no question.
I want to read one of Adam Hoag's tweets, not the one that talked about being yelled at by Ed Obradovich at 11:30, which is a great tweet. That's coming in a second here, but just tweeted, why did Matt Nagy go for two tonight instead of kick the extra points? He said that they had some, quote, unused plays carry over, so, quote, why not use them? And he says they'll go back and forth on whether we want to keep doing that or not. So what do you got on the two-point conversion? That's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the beginning when he goes for it the first time, I'm thinking, oh, he just doesn't trust his kicker. Or because, look, guys, there's math on this these days since they've moved the extra point back. I'm not saying every team should be going for two every time, but I do think if you have an offense like the Chiefs, an offense like the Rams, the Saints, the Bears, I think, still need to, you know, be more consistent before they can be in that conversation, but that's certainly what, you know, kind of the comparisons that have been made here, then I think there's a lot of math and analytics out there that point to actually going for two as the right call. And so as this game played out and he ends up trusting his kicker on that big field goal late in the game, I don't know that it had much to do with Cody Parkin. Maybe that's what ended up putting him over the edge here, deciding to start going for two more. But from a math and analytical standpoint, I think it actually makes sense with his offense. And he said, we're going to consider doing it in the future. So that'll be something to watch on Thursday if he continues to go for two or opts to go back for kick an extra point.
Well, it is in essence, it's like an extra point, you know, extra score. So you put your the other team on tilt a little bit when you're up 8-0.
But and I just think it sends a bit.
Like it.
I don't like it a bit, and I think it's since hubris. Since what happens if you don't get it? Then the rest of the game, you've always got that in the back of your head. And by the way, Parkey had already made a field goal when we scored the touchdown. He made the field goal in the first quarter.
Yeah, the 33-yarder.
So if he didn't think that he could make the extra point, okay, give me, some land to buy. All I'm trying to tell you is I just think that, and then
pretty careless.
The Akeem Hicks deal on the other 2-point, bringing him in, putting him in the backfield, moving him out. I know this, that when Bill Walsh did that to us long ago and they put a guard in the backfield, Ditka couldn't wait for the next year to stick it back where, you know, the sun don't shine. I'm just saying, it's almost like we're poking people in the eye when we don't need to.
Yeah, well, look, and don't quote me on all this because I don't have the exact numbers right in front of me, but I believe since they've moved the extra point back, the conversion rate's gone from 98 to 92, somewhere around there. So it has dropped a little bit. And I believe that the average conversion rate on 2-point conversions is about 47%. So it's just below getting it 50% of the time, which if you get it 50% of the time, that's
trade off. It's the same thing as kicking an extra point,
and
right?
If you have a better offense that you're converting over 50% of the time, then it in the long road, then it does pay off. But the question is, does it pay off in every single game? Because you might have a game where you go 0-4 on them,
right?
And now you're losing points. So that's the other part that you have to keep in mind.
Adam Hogan at Soldier Field here. Bears a winner over the Minnesota Vikings, 25-20. Guess Hample.
But
ahead.
If you score 6 touchdowns a game and you want to go for 2, then you got 6 extra points in the game. We scored 1 touchdown. There's a 1-point difference in that stupid game.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, you're tugging on Superman's cape. Those other guys, they're not going to forget this. And I promise you, there will be hell to pay back when we see him again. I'm just telling you, that's the way, you know, the old
saying goes. It always works, right?
What goes around comes around.
What did Mitchell?
Well, hopefully that Week 17 game doesn't matter, guys.
That's what I was getting at. We'll see. Hey, what did Mitchell say about his performance?
He didn't like it. You could tell right away. First question out of the gate, what did you think about your performance? And it was the classic, well, we won the game, didn't we? Which was his way of admitting that he didn't particularly like how he played tonight.
That's his way of being a cocky little smart mouth. That's exactly what it is, Adam. No, well, we won the game. That's his answer. That's not a good answer.
Adam, let me also tell you this. This was the best performance of our offensive line and protection all year long. And that was a good
– Yes, it was.
There were some good guys rushing the passer. They didn't look completely interested. But I'm just telling you, our offensive line shocked me how well they protected him.
The other point, Adam, that it's mind-boggling to me, we had the ball almost 10 minutes more than the Vikings. Almost 10 minutes more. And when the gun went off, we won the game by 5 points.
And we had to recover an onside kick, you know, to secure the victory. I mean, it wasn't
like a defensive touchdown.
Right.
I mean, stick what I'm saying. I mean, how can you have the ball and you win this game by 5 points and you got every break in the book on both sides of the ball all night long, and that's what happened. But again, hey, I guess it's a victory, and you can say a victory is a victory no matter what. So, again, kudos to the Bears for doing it. But, boy, I'm going to tell you what, they got a lot of work to do here offensively. You can't have a quarterback throw for 160 yards today. Last week, 355. The week before, he throws for 126 yards. And tell me that this quarterback each week is progressing. He's getting better. No, he is not.
Before you,
well, look,
you go ahead, Adam.
Go ahead, Carm. That's all right.
I was just going to say before you go, I think what's most important here, the pick six for Eddie Jackson, the celebration, which I'm sure you loved, OB.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, was that a choir or was that a symphony? I was confused as to what exactly was going on. Do you know?
I thought those guys were like in a canoe and rowing.
That was another one.
That was Miller's touchdown.
Oh, I can't.
Which was a great catch, I might add, too.
It was a good J stroke on the canoe, I thought. It was solid. A little C stroke, anybody? Camp Nabagamon? What about the choir or the symphony?
Conducting an orchestra, Carm.
That's what I thought. So
that's what he was doing.
Right.
Okay.
And it took until Sunday to see anybody row a boat this weekend. That's a shot at Minnesota.
And a deserved one.
By the way, we swept them today. You know, right? Northwestern took care of them, and then Hawks, and then now the Bears. So it was the triple play and just destroyed Minnesota.
I'll take it. Yeah,
right.
That's the hat trick for the weekend.
Right.
And look, they won the most important one tonight. I mean, the Bears. Look, Trubisky may not have proven that he can dominate a good defense. But the Bears proved that they can be the best team in this division.
Well, they showed up, and this was a huge game, and they haven't played in a game like this in a long time, and they won it. So, you know, that's all you have to say, and you move on, and you know, now you worry about going up to Detroit and winning that on Thursday. It's not going to be an easy one.
Yeah, I got to say, I mean, this is a really quick turnaround. You guys know better than me on what that takes, the toll it takes on your body trying to turn around and play quickly on Thursday. But the Lions come back. They beat the Panthers. They're going to be at home. There's a lot of factors here pointing that this is going to be a much tougher game than it was last week when the Bears just controlled the football game from start to finish against the Lions. I don't think it's going to be easy by any means.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's going to be a tough one to win. Right?
I agree with you on that point 100%. Because I tell you what, I think the Lions, they got here, they got embarrassed, and I think they're going to just be laying and waiting for the Bears to come in, and I think they're going to be ready for them. Let's hope the Bears are ready to meet that challenge.
And just for those wondering, the way the Bears will handle this is they're not even going to go through their regular tape review tomorrow. When they get there tomorrow and they won't have their usual Monday off day, they're diving straight into Lions and preparing for Thursday. So, anything that happened tonight that needs to be fixed, it's going to have to wait until next weekend when they get some extra time before they turn around and play the Giants.
Well, what day is Parkey coming down to Soldier Field? Oh, wait a minute. He's kicking in Detroit.
Good point. No helicopters this week, I guess.
That's right. Adam, great stuff. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks Adam.
Adam Hogout at Soldier Field. Let's get a quick timeout. And if you're on hold, Mitchell in Des Plaines, John in Fox Lake in particular, hang on in there. We'll get you in before we get out here. 720 WGN.
Back to the Hampton OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Programming reminder, pregame show on Thanksgiving 9 to 11, as we'll take you up to the Bears and the Lions. And then no postgame on Thanksgiving, so we apologize that we won't be with you, hopefully after the Bears' fifth win in a row, but we will do pregame on Thursday. Who Brought It Today is sponsored by the Blue Cross Blue Shield Card of Illinois. You know what to bring.
Dr. Doink, Cody Parkey.
Yes.
Hey, he brought it down all week to the Soldier Field, and he delivered tonight. It was a good deal.
Dr. Doink.
It's just, it's kind of his new nickname.
That's awesome.
The Doinker.
The donkey was not donking tonight. Straight through, baby. All right. Hey, Mitchell in Des Plaines, you've been waiting an hour. You get a gift card to Bartolini's for that. Thank you so much for being patient. Welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Keep in mind the Bears are a bipolar team. The Bears are playing exceptionally well with the defense. However, the Bears offense is led by a vapid-minded quarterback that should be playing in the CFL. So before you start celebrating the second coming of the Super Bowl shuffle, unless the Bears defense starts winning these games, I would temper your expectations.
Okay, hold up there, Mitchell Trubisky basher. No one's saying he's Joe Montana is prime, but he's not playing in the CFL, my friend. He's playing a whole lot better than that. And that's unfair. And not true.
No, I think it's very fair.
What? Okay.
Enjoy Bartolini's on us, okay? Either way, Mitchell.
But I think what he's saying is this.
He cannot go toe-to-toe with Kirk Cousins. He scored one touchdown, like Dan said.
Uh-huh. And here's the thing.
That's ridiculous. He outplayed Kirk Cousins tonight. Kirk Cousins was horrendous.
Just stop, Mark. He's entitled to his opinion.
That's not what happened.
Let me just tell you this, Mark.
Okay.
As a guy that tried to...
The one time I say something, guys, tell me to back off.
For a guy that I spent a long time trying to put quarterbacks out of commission, the more he keeps this mindless running, it's going to happen. I'm just telling you. It's not, you know, if it's going to, it's when. And Alex Smith got his leg broke today. I'm just saying. I don't like, you know, Collinsworth is going, oh, yeah, Nagy goes, oh, I don't mind him running. You better mind it because guess what? You think he's going to get better when he's got a cast on his leg?
It's inevitable. Yep. It's inevitable. If he keeps on doing it, he'll get cranked pretty good.
Mitchell Trubisky's quarterback rating for the year is 101.6. That's 11th in the NFL. Mitchell Trubisky's yards per attempt, Obi, you love that stat. 7.95. That's 11th in the NFL. Okay, he's not.
Now we could break that down to the simple.
We could.
How many 3-yard passes, 5-yard passes, 6-yard passes turn into 15, 17, whatever? We're a dink and dunk, and things are happening. That's what I'm talking about with this team. The good things are happening to this team. It's unbelievable. The bounce of the ball, the calls. It's game after game after game. And just like today, we won this game by 5 points playing. I couldn't believe how horrible Minnesota played.
Yeah, Minnesota
and we
was
won,
not good.
Only we, won by 5 points.
We owned them, and we scored one touchdown.
And here's the key. Here's the key. We had the ball almost 10 more minutes than the Vikings. Almost 10 more minutes. Take the other caller.
John in Fox Lake, wrap it up. Go ahead.
Whereas this season looks like to be very nice on offense, I'm not going to go where the last guy went. But where I will go is this coaching staff is building this plays and everything based off of speed. We don't have speed coming out of the backfield with Howard, and we don't have speed receivers. You give that to Mitch and watch out because you're going to have to play with the Saints and the Rams and the Chiefs, and that involves speed. So come next year, I hope we address those issues on offense because we don't have that right now.
Hey, John, hold on. I'm giving you a $50 gift card to Bartolini's as well, mainly because Mitch hung up and forgot his Bartolini's. So you hang on, pal.
Well, you irritated Mitch so much he hung up.
Well, I don't know about the speed out of the backfield. Tariq Cohen's got some nice speed out
he
of the backfield.
He had to go burn his Trubisky.
He's quick.
Okay.
Hey, we appreciate all you callers. Thank you so much. You make the show.
All right, 4 wins in a row. Again, pregame on Thanksgiving, 9 to 11. Kazi, great to see you in studio today, buddy.
You too.
We appreciate it. And, OB, I want to see that dance on Thanksgiving.
Look at the backside
more
of
to come.
Me and OB.
All right. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for texting tonight. Bears a winner. Great to be with you on a Sunday night. Have a great start to your work week and have a great Thanksgiving holiday. News coming up, 720 WGN.